From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day. Hello. We're glad you're here. How you doing? Everything that would go along with that, I guess. I'm trying to think of different words in foreign languages, but I never passed. Come on down. Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. That's where you can find us. The Bill Michaels Show on the air. We're down here for the 12th annual WSSP Toy Drive benefiting Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. And for those that have showed up today, man, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We can't say thanks enough. You people have been great, but we're not done yet. We're not done yet at all because we have still the rest of today, Thursday and Friday, to continue to try to stuff as many toys as we can into the big boxes we have that eventually fill up the semi that's just about 20 yards away from us. So please keep coming out to Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Doesn't matter if you buy a toy here or you get one somewhere else, any new unwrapped toy we need. And if you can bring it, please do. If you want to make a donation online, please do. We encourage you, especially if you're outside of the area, go to 1057FMTheFan.com. That is 1057FMTheFan.com. And it's right there on the front page of the website. You can make a donation there. He has seen a lot. Boy, you talk about sports in Wisconsin. Craig Kishon from Fox Sports Wisconsin. Get some travel miles when you talk about racking it up. You drive about as much as I do, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
You're everywhere. Whether it's Brewers, you're doing stuff out at Camp Randall, you're doing stuff all over the place. So let's start with this Brewer season. We had Marcus Hanel on before, and he was giving us kind of the perspective inside the clubhouse, inside the bullpen, the view from outside beyond the fence. But give us your thoughts on the ride that the Brewers went through this year.
Well, I think having covered 08, 11, and this year was by far the deepest team, the best team.
Ryan Braun alluded to that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was almost a surprise, to be honest with you, that they didn't win Game 7, in my opinion. After winning Game 6 and having that momentum and stuff, I thought they were the better team for sure. It was a close National League race, but it was an incredible ride. A season like no one has ever seen before. I mean, they're taking this new wave analytics and just how they're going about treating individuals as well to a whole new level right now.
Yeah.
Analytics drive things, but it's also how you treat players and how you treat your organization. And they're taking it to a whole new level right now because I've just never seen anything like it work so well. And I don't think it's a one-year wonder either. I think that they're destined to do some really good things here if they play their cards right.
Brian Anderson, I heard him on this morning with the local show, and he had said that Craig Counsell had said to him, we're about to rattle cages in September. And you know, and Brian even said, I didn't really understand the full extent as to what he was saying when he said it, but now we know.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that, and I kind of got on Alex Rodriguez and Frank Thomas and those guys for this. They were acting as if we'd never seen this before, and this was some novelty that was not going to last, and it wasn't for real. And if you paid attention to what they were doing all season long, you saw the snowball starting to roll down the hill because you understood what it is they were doing. And now they've got, as Marcus Hanel alluded to earlier, they've got so much talent when it comes to arms. Is this – because last year we saw, like, Jake Arrieta got really upset. He didn't get that long-term deal for $200 million.
Right.
And the Brewers have said, we don't need a long-term deal for $200 million. We can get it done with a bunch of controllable guys, a lot of great arms, and we can do it in two-inning stints, and we're going to win a lot of ball games. Is this now, when you're not only talking about the Brewers, but you're talking about Major League Baseball, is this the cage rattling throughout Major League Baseball that you can do it this way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt, especially for teams that aren't based in Chicago, Boston, New York, Los Angeles, maybe even Houston for that matter,
yeah.
Philadelphia. I mean, you're really large market type teams. I think it gives everybody else that sight and that opportunity. I think, you know, Kansas City did it a certain way when they won the World Series. And they built within a lot, and then they made some key trades because they had the depth to give up some of their
right.
their homegrown in their own organization. Now the Brewers did the same things to some extent, but then to take it to that next level and be able to say, you know, we've got 55 or 60 guys that are, and they say this to the whole team in spring training, you know, 55 or 60 of you will have a hand in making this team a winning organization. Are you in or you out? And I think that that was their approach during the offseason, too, with certain guys that they decided to sign and go after and bring in and give it an opportunity to. And if you want to have an opportunity to win, you know, people think it's just, you know, build a team and go, or buy a team and go. No matter what it is, it's rare to have the opportunity and to be in a situation to win a championship. I mean, you know that. You've covered this as long as anybody. And I think, you know, young guys are understanding that now. Veteran guys who've never won anywhere else are understanding that now. And they pieced it together rather well.
They are going to have some things to make decisions on Friday, and obviously come the offseason, because is Travis Shaw second baseman, third baseman, or first baseman? Obviously, Eric Thames and his contract, does he fit better with an American League team that maybe they can deal him for? Aguilar, who was like a comet early on in the season, really simmered towards the end of the season, but his numbers came out to look rather good. So what do you believe in? You know, then obviously the catching situation, bringing Kratz. But Kratz, I know, because I had put on Facebook, boy, in Twitter, I said, this is a great, great deal. And people said, what are you talking about? It's a backup catcher, you know. And I said, it's there's something to be said for a guy in a clubhouse that's kind of that guy. Everybody's got a glue. You know, everybody's got – but when you have numerous guys that are glue guys that can be personalities within a clubhouse – that means a ton. And to bring Kratz back, I think he's one of those guys.
Yeah, he is. I mean, and what is he? He's closer to 40 than anybody else in that roster now.
Right, right.
And maybe that was a surprise where you're saying, oh, you know, I thought maybe he'd be done after this particular season, but not the case. So they're making sure that they're glue guys, and there's going to be more than one, two, or three of those guys for sure that they're going to make sure that are on this roster right now. As far as decisions go, it's going to be really interesting to see, and I'm out of the predicting world when it comes to
David
Stearns,
right?
You just can't. You just can't predict what he's going to do, what his staff is going to do, put together what insight, you know, Counts has in all of that as well to help build this team. And that's a good thing, I think. I don't think they want to be predictable. I think it's you know, it's part of the game, you know, you have with other franchises too, and they've done a great job of that. But second base is obviously going to be a key. And, you know, in my opinion, you know, Travis Shaw is not an everyday second baseman. But maybe they don't have plans for him to play there every day
at
second base.
But he morphed over so well.
Yep.
If you look at his aspect of it, if you look at his numbers and what he can do and play second, I mean, he's comparable to a lot of numbers that are going to be big-time monetary numbers.
Right.
So maybe he wants to consider himself a second baseman.
Maybe he does. But, I mean, you know.
Scope's another guy they got to make a decision.
Yeah, I think Scope's, the big thing right now is, do you want to, for instance, give him the $11 million or so that he would be due to come back to this team next year? Or do you want to take that 11 and maybe give, you know, a little bit more to bring Mike Moustakas back and put him over at third base and maybe put Shaw at second base and add other pieces here and there? Who knows if Keston Hera is going to be ready to go for this year or for 2020? I think that's a little bit cloudy right now because he hasn't hit past double A. And I think that they're very concerned about not rushing a guy that is this talented. But if he's ready and knocking on the door, I think second base is his spot right now for the future of this franchise.
Well, people say he's a hitter's version of Chris Bryant, where he just hit at every level and he was just tearing the ball off the cover and he could just do it.
Sure seems like it.
And they certainly think that he can just come up and do it. Chris Bryant did it in his first year, and obviously look what happened. But then again, he's also struggled ever since. Once you get it figured out and pitchers figure you out, then it's up to you to adjust. And he hasn't made that adjustment very well. He has struggled at times, injuries as well. But that being said, is Keston Hira that guy that can just come up and just begin to start raking up here in the
bigs?
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
And you hate to bust a guy's confidence,
too. And you don't want to do that for sure. You definitely don't want to do that. But I think you know, David Stearns, you know, the other day, just him saying he is not going to be our second baseman on opening day for 2019.
Right.
He's not going to be on that big league roster, at least to start the season. So you never know what's going to happen, you know, within a couple of months. You know, May, end of May is always a key time for really good, talented, top-flight players to all of a sudden make their major league debuts. We've seen it here before, obviously.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're talking with Craig Kishon here inside the Bears Sunrooms studios at Blaine's Farm and Fleet down here in Oak Creek. So if you want to stop by and drop off a new unwrapped toy for the toy drive, please go ahead and do so. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We're going to be at Who's on Third coming up on Thursday night, tomorrow night. Who's on Third? That's where you can find us. We're going to be down there hanging out. It's going to be myself, Scott Grodzki from CBS 58, our Green and Gold analyst Paul Emmy going to be there as well, and the Bud Light Street team. That's Who's on Third tomorrow night, 6 to 8 on many of these same stations. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are glad to have you. The Bill Michaels Show, broadcasting live down here. Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek is where you can track us down. We are here for the 12th annual WSSP Sports Radio 105.7 FM, the Fan Toy Drive. And it is a good group of people walking by today. Whole lot of people walking by today. Yesterday was kind of slow. Today, busy day today. And we hope by the end of the day that the tally continues to rise and rise quickly. And we set some all-time records today, not only with toys, but in monetary donations. If you want to make a donation, you can come down here. They have the dip jars right here for $25 and $50. Or if you want to make a donation online, if you're listening to us, say, in Eau Claire, Clintonville, La Crosse, wherever it happens to be, you can make a donation online simply by going to 1057fmthefan.com. That's 1057fmthefan.com. Make a donation online there. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better. And don't forget, if you're out and about and thinking about a gift card, you can do so. Pick up a $25 gift card. They will give you a free 7.5-inch sub just for buying the gift card. Now, that's the gift that keeps on giving. So go in there and get a stocking stuffer for somebody else, and then take care of yourself along the way. Take a load off. Enjoy your holiday shopping. That is from our great friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Sitting here with Craig Kishon from Fox Sports Wisconsin. So the season ends, and all the questions begin. And it was, look, it was a hell of a ride. I don't think anybody expected it. I said 87 wins at the beginning of the season. They exceeded my expectations the way they did it by winning, you know, 9 in a row, 10 in a row, 13 in a row, and before finally succumbing. But now the offseason, you see coaching changes. And one of the things that Craig Counsell had talked about last year, I know Travis Shaw and I had a conversation about it at the beginning of the season when we were out in spring training out in Maryville, was consistency, the family, everybody together. You don't have that this year now. So I wonder if it's – because sometimes be careful what you wish for when you try to get better, because you can regress. But you just wonder how all this is going to play out now, because there's some things where guys were familiar with guys, and you know as well as I do. I mean, athletes are creatures of habit, man.
Yeah, they are. And but you know, change is inevitable. And
in sports, absolutely.
And I will look at it this way, and I totally see where you're going with you know, the coaching changes that were made, and now some new coaches are coming in. But there's also going to be some new players coming in, and you also look at the fact of what was the base of the Brewers' success this year? It was the fact that they used all these guys. Their roster was you know, popping out at the seams. There were so many guys coming and going. So I think from that aspect, I think this club and most of these returning guys will have a good grasp on that. And I think, you know, look, I mean, upper management has to trust that this is going to happen the right way. Some of these changes, you know, were out of their control. Some were in their control. So I don't even think they've patched it together well. I think they've gotten the guys that they want in place. And now it's really going to be up to the players and what new players now they bring in to kind of extend that.
Right.
What other changes are going on with this franchise?
We mentioned Travis Shaw. You've got you look around the infield. Sal Ladino came in, filled in a spot when they desperately needed, because Arcia was really struggling. They desperately needed Sal Ladino. And you figure, I've always said, you got to be good, you got to be healthy, you got to be lucky, and you got to be hot all at the right time. And everything fell into place for this team. Luck being a part of it, had Sal Ladino not gone down, you don't know what the rest of the season would have held for Arcia, who, oh, by the way, happened to be one of the postseason MVPs, you know? So had Sal Ladino not gone down, Arcia may not have even seen the bigs again.
That's
until
right.
The call-ups, you know? So it's amazing the way everything unfolded. And as much as we want to recapture the magic, they got to get there via a different path this upcoming season.
Yeah.
And I don't think the fans can just count on what they saw last year to be there. It's a whole new season of baseball.
No, I mean, you know, there was a blueprint that was, you know, introduced, I think, to baseball last year. But I don't think they go about that blueprint in the same fashion. I just don't see it. I mean, look, if you have healthy, good players and they're performing, chances are you're not going to see revolving doors, right?
Right.
If you've got good clubhouse guys, you know, that are producing, you're not going to see revolving doors. I mean, all those things lead to player changes. If you have, you know, a lead guy that's not, you know, woefully disappointing and having a bad year, you're not going to see changes. So that had something to do with that blueprint. But give them credit because they always had a plan B, let's put it that way,
yeah.
And they weren't far off from having a plan C. But a lot of the changes that they made, like bringing in a Saladino, you know, bringing in Kratz, when they did, man, they hit the snot out of the ball when they came in. They made a big splash.
Yeah.
They exactly the reasons that they were brought in for, if it was about offense at that time, they made an immediate impact with the club and kept this club from maybe being right in the middle for whatever period of time to bringing them back up. It prevented them from sinking. And that's exactly part of that blueprint plan is having that plan B and stuff. That's how I've always
yeah.
looked at it with
no,
these guys.
No, I would agree because people said it's funny because at the end of the season – you start doing interviews all over the country. Everybody wants to figure out why the Brewers became good.
Yeah.
And the one key word I kept using was everybody. Everybody contributed. It wasn't one guy.
Right, exactly.
You know, everybody wants to talk about Yelich and then the addition of Kane, yes. But Hader was good. Jeffress was good. Soria came in and had moments. Even Scope had the grand slam
mm-hmm.
that helped them win a ball game, that kept the winning streak going, that actually kept them in the hunt. You know, I mean, it's just so it was everybody had a hand in it. It wasn't one particular guy. I don't know necessarily that you can sit there and say, that's what you're going to do next year. But the one thing that you had mentioned early on was this was the deepest ever that we've seen when you talk about a postseason team, and there's no reason to think you're not going to be that deep again. There are some positions you need to examine, such as third. You need to figure out third, second, you know, what is first going to hold, and obviously behind the plate. But, you know, you've got a plethora of outfielders again. You've got two really solid infielders. When you talk about Arcia, you got Saladino. You've got, obviously, Travis Shaw. If you bring out Moustakas or Scope, or what are you going to do? So I think you're pretty set. I think right now this is roster tweaking, and really the only big thing that we're looking at is do they go for a big-name starter and a guy that you can say is going to be a true number one or number two, or do you just bring out of the guys out of the pen and then refortify your pen?
Yeah.
That's the biggest question, I think, this season.
No, I think you're right. I think – you know, the infield is going to have the bigger of the question marks anywhere except for shortstop right now. I mean, Arcia is going to return and be their shortstop.
And you just hope that he starts out the way he ended.
Right. And you have all the names that you just mentioned, too, as part of that infield. It's just where's the depth going to build from there and who's really going to play third, who's really going to be at second base, and do they go out and make a change at all, you know, in their catching situation to really – you know, fortify that position maybe long term. Who knows at this point? I don't know if they bring in a frontline pitcher. I know, you know, yesterday it's been, you know, reported that they're supposedly in the mix or sniffing around a Baumgartner.
Right.
You know, I don't
know.
His
better days are behind him.
Right,
he's
exactly. And he's got what, a year left on
right.
on his current contract right now. So what do you give up for having him be a frontline guy? But look, you know, time is of the essence. And this team went for it last year in maybe some unorthodox ways sometimes, but they went for it. They really did go for it. And who knows if, you know, who's going to land on the Cardinals this year, who's going to land on the Cubs this year. This division is not going to be the Brewers to be had, that's for sure. It's still going to be as competitive. So it's putting those chips together, and we'll see what they do.
I still think that this is going to be between the Brewers and the Cubs. As much as the Cardinals fans want to believe they're going to be in this, and they very, very well may be, I still think the Cubs are the dog that everybody's kind of gunning for. That being said, they didn't extend Joe Maddon.
Right.
So you got some issues there, and Joe Madden's already talking about, well, he's not lame duck, he's free agent, you know, trying to rephrase what's going on there. And in addition to that, you know, you've got some guys down there that didn't perform the way they're supposed to. I mean, Avi Baez probably had the, you know, the year of his career, but you know, some of the other guys didn't perform. Their pitching staff kind of let them down. They didn't hit, which is the reason they got rid of their hitting coach. They've had change and turmoil down there. Now they're rumored to be willing to spend any amount of money to get anybody they can that's going to come in and fortify that team. So this is going to be an interesting year in the Central, which to me is still the best division in baseball.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And you know, but you just hit the nail on the head a moment ago. Chicago can still spend money.
Right.
Endless amounts of money. You know, who knows if Harper doesn't end up there or they go out and get Baumgartner for – I mean, who knows?
Right.
No matter what big-time addition they make, it's only going to increase their chances against everybody else because they still have a great core. The Brewers have built a very, very good core right now. I think they're on the cusp of having, you know, a great core, you know, from top to bottom in that lineup right now.
And the Cardinals are aging.
Yep.
Let's be honest. You know, they're getting older. Molina's not getting any younger. They've got Carpenter who's not getting any younger. They've got a lot of guys over there that
– Well, they didn't finish nearly what they thought they were going to. I mean, they peaked out after the managerial change, which that happens. Right. We've seen that before.
The Reds did too.
Yeah.
So did the Reds. The Reds were terrible. They fired their manager. They start winning, and I think they won like 6 or 7 in a row, and everybody was thinking, okay, that was all they needed. But the bottom line was they didn't have the pitching. Their pitching stinks.
Right.
You know, they're relying on who? What was it? Homer Bailey, I think, down there is the guy that they were relying on. He's terrible. He's had 2 no-hitters, and that's about it.
Yeah.
His career's been bad. So they're a team that can hit the baseball, but they don't have pitching either. And I still think it's going to be the Cubs that are going to be the number one nemesis for the Brewers.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I you know, it'll be interesting to see what the Cardinals do off-season-wise as far as, you know, replenishing their offense and stuff right now. But their pitching staff, obviously, is taking an aging hit, too. And who knows as far as leadership goes with the organization right now. So I think they're still in flux. But, you know, it's still got to be the Cubs as far as the target for the Brewers right now and how they stack their roster, in my opinion.
And then you look at the rest of the National League because Washington not going to be the same. They're losing their star, even though he didn't have a great year. Atlanta's an up-and-coming team. Philadelphia, if they're going to spend the money and bring in Bryce Harper, then obviously – and they're talking about spending and getting both him and Machado.
Right.
You know, so if they get both of those guys, how much better do they get? L.A.'s still going to be L.A. I still think the Rockies are going to be there, and Arizona's going to be kind of an X factor in all of that before it's all said and done.
Well, they've got Darnell Coles as their hitting coach right
now.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
No, it's going to be – you know, it was a fun year in the National League. You know, it was completely up for grabs all year, even though everyone kept – pegging, you know, the Cubs and the Dodgers. The fact that the Brewers, you know, won it out and ended up with the best record out there speaks volumes.
When they lost and they went 5 games down with 22 to play, and I had said at that time they're playing for the wild card. I took a beating on Twitter, but that was okay because at the time, history will tell you there's only been like one team that's come back from that deficit in that short a period of time to actually win their division. Most of the time they make the playoffs, but they're playing for the wild card. So did they, as you traveled around with this team, did they have any realization that they weren't supposed to be in the postseason in that fashion to win the division?
No, not one time.
Marcus told me, he said, you know, and you were kind of reiterating, when guys are sitting at the table and you got Lorenzo Cain and Moustakas, who had both been there, done that, saying, boy, the postseason is going to be great, you kind of get the sense that these guys never thought they were out of anything.
No, I agree 100% with that. You know, having been on the inside, you know, all season long, not one time. I'll say this. This past season, if you go all the way back to opening day on March 29th, compared to the final Game 7 of the National League Championship Series, there was the same vibe, honestly, from opening day on. I don't know. Spring training is spring training. When opening day clicked at San Diego and then they swept that opening series, there was a certain vibe that was stayed in the air. It just did with this team, and that vibe had to have been, you know, confidence that they've got the right people going together right now.
Craig, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping
by. All right,
by,
pal.
Man. Love seeing you on TV, and they just built a pizza ranch down the street from my house.
Beautiful. That's the best news ever right there.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
There you go. Craig Kishon joining us for a couple of minutes. Up next, legendary Tom Pippins is going to be here inside the Bears Sunroom Studio. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.